Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the injury update I'll have for you here, I'll read through them. So Rasul Douglas, getting better. We'll see how he does this week as we get into it. Same with Taylor Rapp, DeMar Hamlin, Casey Tuhill, Matt Milano. Josh is all good. He had some of those tests after the game. He's all good, as well as Spencer Brown. Curtis Samuel, Dorian Williams return to the game. They're day-to-day. We'll see how they do. And then Tylan Grable, currently on IR, so his decision will come in the next couple of days here. So that's what I have for you. Nothing definitive on those injuries. Still gathering information and taking it one day at a time.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about this particular game. Had to be something that you were very happy with. You didn't have to make an adjustment with the run. 15 rushes for 48 yards. What was significant with that? And obviously the play, outstanding play of Ed Oliver. He really came to play yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was physical right from the start. Physical with intention, attitude. The guys were wearing their emotions on their sleeves. They had a purpose when they took the field on that first drive. And I think the first two drives, you know, I don't know if both, I think both may have been three and outs or the first one was, but either way, we forced a punt against, you know, a really good offense and, you know, got us up, helped get us up 14 zip right there, right off the bat, which was important for us. And then to start the second half the same way, the early punt and then the forced fumble setting up our offense right there. So really good start to both halves there on the defensive side.
Well, my last question to you is a congratulation. You became the fifth coach in NFL history to record five straight 11-win seasons. And you've always come in with a great attitude, and I appreciate what you've accomplished during your tenure here in Buffalo. Congratulations.
I certainly appreciate that. That means a lot. Hard to do, and it's never about one person. You know that. But, hey, God is good, and I'm extremely grateful for being here in Buffalo.
I know yesterday you mentioned kind of the rare air of beating the Chiefs, the one seed in the AFC, and beating the Lions, the one seed in the NFC, as it stands. How big is it to play games like this late in the season against strong opponents, you know, as you guys prep towards the postseason?
No, it's big. I mean, you know, there's you know, certain challenges on your schedule. Every week's a challenge, I should say. And then there's other ones that are, you know, just have a little bit more kind of spice in them, right? So that was the case yesterday for multiple reasons. And I think you could tell with our level of play and the way that all three phases came out, the team came out, and they were set on what they wanted to accomplish yesterday.
And then your next three games, all against divisional opponents, they don't have the records maybe that, you know, the strongest records, not the not records that the Lions have.
Yeah.
But playing divisional games this late in the season, does that kind of add a little bit more emphasis? The fact that, like, these are rivals, right? Even though they're not, you know, great records, but you're still playing games against meaningful opponents, if that makes sense.
No, it is. And that's how the league, you know, I think the majority of the time kind of shapes it. So you get those divisional matchups that are always interesting, always come with a little bit more of a competitive edge. And you know, it makes for good football down the stretch for the organizations, the teams, and certainly the fans.
Last question I got for you, kind of off topic. Your game this Sunday got flexed from 1 o'clock to 4:30. Your reaction to that? Were you surprised by that at all?
No, not surprised. I mean, when you're a good team, that tends to happen this time of year, and you just kind of keep your knees bent and stay flexible.
I want to go back to the fourth downs in this game, or at least the fourth down you went for, obviously at midfield, and then take you to the end of the first half. You guys were near the 1 yard line there. I know you had the penalty. Was there a point where maybe you would go for it as well in that situation? Obviously the penalty backed you up to the 6 yard line. Would you thought of staying aggressive in that situation?
Right. So the fourth down, I think it was fourth and 2.5. It probably showed up on the scoreboard as fourth and 2, but it's somewhere between 2 and 3. Felt like we wanted to stay aggressive or be aggressive there. And, you know, great play call, great execution. So it paid off. And then, yes, I thought that was a sequence. Didn't really love that sequence of plays. You know, we left some points out there, certainly missing the field goal. But even before that, thought we had an opportunity to, at a minimum, go for it on fourth down. And so I felt like we took ourselves out of that situation, certainly with a penalty. But overall, just felt like we can revisit that and reevaluate that sequence of plays.
Well, on that note, I know last week you said the Josh Allen sneak is your best play down there. Is that something you might reevaluate and look at that you would have done differently possibly?
Yeah, we talked about that. That was actually, you know, being talked about on the headset as well. So we were, you know, just inside of the one yard to go area, and sitting on third down, I believe, after the pass to Curtis on second down there, and felt, hey, we've got two downs. You know, we're a tough team to stop with two downs and just inside the one for sure. So, again, that's, you know, that's something we have to do better.
And then, you know, you look at the numbers. I mean, close to 500 yards passing, but I think everyone kind of saw how the game played out. There's a lot of circumstance to that, right? And you have Cam Lewis and Cole Bishop back there, and on top of Kyrie, you have three guys who aren't normally starters. Can you take us into the mindset of what, you know, you want to make sure you're accomplishing with those guys and not getting beat deep? They only allowed one ball over top of their head, and that was even incomplete, actually. And kind of what the philosophy is with those guys, and especially, as you know, they have to throw the ball a lot.
Right, one-dimensional game. They probably went one-dimensional a little bit earlier than we had anticipated. Just at that point, we were up 14. I think that's when we caused the fumble in the third quarter there. And then they came back, certainly up 35-14 and stayed one-dimensional. And, you know, we've got, you know, some guys out there for sure, to your point. I think three of the starting DBs were out. And then Cole went down and Kareem came in. And then Alana went down and Dorian came in. And at one point, Balin came in because Dorian was hurt. So we were, you know, moving pieces in and out. I thought the staff did a good job with that. All that being said, thought we did a phenomenal job in the run game and really overall managing the game up to that point. And we got to learn how to close out a game. And that's a combination of rush and coverage working together and, you know, someone winning their one-on-one matchup.
Hey, Sean, you kind of mentioned it there for a second on Dorian and Balin and kind of flipping things as injuries were happening throughout the game. When Dorian was out there for a while and then was ultimately able to come back in, how did that play itself out?
You kind of broke up there, Matt. I want to make sure I understand your question. You're talking about the flipping of Dorian and Balin?
Yeah, so Dorian was in the game, then he was out for a while, and then it seemed like Balin was in for him, but then Dorian was able to come back in at the end. I think there's some just confusion from fans how Dorian was able to come back into the game.
Right. So Dorian was injured in the game. And so he wasn't available to us for a stretch, probably the stretch everyone's, you know, you're talking about here as well. So and then he became available. So we put him back in the game there towards the end.
Gotcha. Joe Brady, obviously this offense, 30 plus points a game over the last 8 weeks. A lot has been going well in the run game, in the pass game. How have you seen your offense really take advantage of what he's done as a play caller?
Well, I think the biggest thing is getting as many people involved as possible while taking advantage of matchups, Matt, but also not dictating the ball has to go to one person and really allowing Josh to go through his progression and allowing Josh to feel the game, right? So whether he uses his legs, gets the ball out to an outlet, a check down, what have you, really just executing the offense, if that makes sense to you.
And, you know, I think a great example of that point is you have Amari Cooper go for 14 targets last week. He's not targeted one time this week. Is that kind of what makes it so hard to deal with the offense, is that you can't plan for one specific thing to happen week in and week out?
Agree. And that's, you know, when you look at, you know, kind of flip it around a little bit, you look at Detroit's offense and you go against two good backs, you go against good tight end, multiple receivers that have different skill sets. And, you know, other than, you know, St. Brown in some situations and things that you'd say, hey, we need to take away this player. It's that ball finds whomever it finds just through the progression and how the offense is rolling. And so I think it's really hard when you're operating on all cylinders, to your point, to really just hone in on one person.
And last one, I know sometimes when things aren't going well for players, especially players with a lot of expectations, it could be hard to answer tough questions. And I thought last week Ed Oliver answered every single one. What did you see from him last week? Not just the performance in the game, but how he handled the adversity and responded.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. He really is. I mean, he's not that tall when he stands up, but he's a stand-up guy. So don't tell him I said that. But I thought he played a heck of a game last night. I really did. I mean, it doesn't take a trained eye to be able to see that. Run game in his gap, coming off the ball, getting off blocks, making plays. In the pass game, certainly affecting the quarterback. And that's what he's capable of. And that's what we need more of, quite honestly, on a more consistent basis. And if you guys want to continue to piss him off during the week, have at it.
Yesterday, you said that you thought Josh Allen was playing the best football of his career. What do you think kind of stands out right now among other things that Josh is doing well right now?
I mean, you name it, he's in command of our offense, really. And so when you look up, I think the word quarterback in a dictionary or what have you, that's how he's playing. I mean, the ball's going where it's supposed to go, and he's moving us down the field. However we move down the field, he's moving us down the field, getting the ball to the running backs when it needs to go to the running backs and the check downs, you know, the screen game. Hitting the intermediate routes. Just very, he's very comfortable in the pocket, it seems, and he's seeing the game extremely well right now.
With Allen being in, you know, the MVP conversation, all the points being scored, beating the Chiefs, beating the Lions, you know, expectations are starting to mount. You talk a lot about your leadership group. What do you want to see from them this week and in the final weeks of the season as the team kind of gets these added expectations placed on them?
Well, we control those, right? We control our expectations. That's what we really focus on is inside of our building. And certainly understand that when you win, and when you win against teams like we beat, expectations increase. But that's nothing new for us. It's better that way than the other way, right? So we're fired up about being able to play this weekend at home in front of our fans. I feel like it's been a few weeks since we've been here, and we get a chance to play in Orchard Park this coming Sunday in a afternoon game, 4:00, 4:20, whatever it is.
Hey, Coach, you spoke about Ed Oliver's performance yesterday. His performance with the addition of Dwayne Carter being healthy and DeJuan Smoot being back in the lineup, how can this group build off of yesterday's performance? And by group, I mean just the defensive line as a whole.
Right. Good question. You know, I really liked how they played in the run game, Maddie, and then just again, we had some really good rushes as well in the pass game, especially when it turned to some early third downs. I thought later in the game, you know, the connection of the rush and the coverage Could have been better, the detail and things. And so, but that's all growth for us. We've had some pieces moving around there and guys coming back from injury, guys getting injured. And I applaud the staff and the players for being resilient, working through it. The important piece is that we continue to improve in that area for sure.
And then on offense, just the group hitting their stride as a whole, how important is the run game to this offense being able to hit their stride at the right point in this season as you guys finish out the regular season?
Right. That's huge. That's never taken for granted. It's earned every week with the mindset up front on both sides of the ball and Coach Cromer, Coach West and their assistants and led by Connor and our defensive line really as a group. So it's something that's not taken for granted, as I mentioned, but so, so important to our success on offense and defense.
I wanted to ask you just something you were alluding to yesterday after the game. You come into that game and not only are you dealing with some injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but you're also preparing for a Lions team in a week where you had to practice virtually because of things that are just out of your control. Can you just take us into the resiliency, I guess, of the team? I think it might be the word you used yesterday and what it takes from not only the guys in the locker room, but the people inside the building to be able to still prepare and try to get things done throughout the week and then in turn play a team like Detroit on Sunday.
Right. It adds an extra layer. I mean, there's kind of no working around it. Taking you back to last week, I think we got word that the storm, was going to hit. I'm losing my track of my days here, but it was like Tuesday. We first really started getting serious about this storm coming in, and all the while, we as coaches are trying to game plan and, so just really, our operations staff, Matt Warzik, my assistant, Eric Behan, Brendan Rowe, Ryan Moore, and many others started, getting heavily involved in how this is all going to, affect our week. And then, the communication between myself and the coordinators of what each day might look like, what we need to tell the players. Should we have the cafeteria make more food so players can take some food home in case they get we get stuck Thursday morning. So it's a lot of, connecting with the weather people locally that we can that know we feel like the best about how much to expect, when it's going to affect us. The thing that people, I think some people don't realize is we have some young players here who have never experienced snow before growing up in Florida or maybe Texas or California. So that's another safety issue altogether. So just trying to put the players and the staff safety first, all the while trying to win a game. So you want to say it's a delicate balance, but it really isn't a delicate balance when it comes to people's health and well-being. So we tried to put that first. I think the players appreciated that. Some of us made it in on Thursday morning, and we thought we'd be staying overnight Thursday night as well. Some did stay overnight Wednesday night, some of the coaches here as well. And so it happens where it's a long week and some unpredictability, but I thought the players and staff handled it extremely well.
And then yesterday's game, how would you assess your offensive line play?
I thought it was very strong. I really did. Being able to control the line of scrimmage in the early part of the game was important for us. And I thought our offensive line was up for the challenge, including our tight ends. I mean, everyone, we ask everyone to block in the run game here, wide receivers included. So they were set on being able to win that line of scrimmage early in the game.
Absolutely. And at the end of the game, was that Josh calling his own number, or was that a purposely called? Because I was just wondering why he was running so much at the end. It worked to end the game, but just putting your quarterback in possible harm's way. I was wondering, was that set by design?
Well, it depends on which one you're talking about. So, I mean, most of those were, well, some of them were called. Others, Josh, played football. He does what he does. So, some of a little bit of both.
Oh, that's a good, you make a good attorney. You really get those answers. Very good. Last but not least,
you got to be politically correct. right?
Absolutely. There you go. That's the perfect answer on that one, for sure. And last but not least, when you guys prepare for now, you got two home games, you got divisional games coming up. How do you now get everybody back to say, hey, now we still, you know, you really had two high national televised games, and now you have more lower profile. They still mean the same thing amount, but how do you get them back to be in focus for this next opponent?
Well, I think, you know, that we picked up a scar from that LA game, you know, quite honestly, and coming off of two emotional wins, clinching the division 5 weeks ahead of time. And I think we picked up a scar right there. And so sometimes scars are good for you. If you know, you continue to see them on your face, it's a good reminder of what not to do. And sometimes you're able to live longer lives when you have those scars.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.